Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 88, and today's date is November 22nd, 2017. And I just want to wish a happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners out there. My name is Carrie, and I will be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined tonight by Kent and our special guest, Steve. Russ, much to everyone's disappointment, is off enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday. How are you guys doing tonight?
You got me wondering, are there any non-American listeners to this podcast that don't celebrate Thanksgiving?
You know, I can say this. I can say that my old blogs were a hit over in Europe. Lots of hits over there. As a matter of fact, I had a girl that would message me a lot and really dug my jigsaw tattoo.
You had a groupie.
Yeah, she kind of wanted to bone me. It was really weird. I did not have enough money to bring
her
over to
America. Was she from a former Soviet country?
I believe so. It was probably some country I cannot pronounce properly. But I can say we were big in Europe, so we got that going for us. Maybe somebody listens to our podcast. I don't know.
That'd be cool.
It would be interesting. I mean, it's weird because every week I just tell the fans to go fuck themselves, but yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, that's cool. Go Europe.
You should do a poll.
Where's everybody from?
Click one result. Washington, D.C.
Who's that?
I wonder. All right. So for our first-time listeners, welcome. And just let you know we're all about. We recap and talk about the week in the WWE, and we also have a few fun segments for you guys. Tonight, guys, we got a lot of ground to cover. Wow. We have the fallout from NXT TakeOver or NXT War Games, Survivor Series to talk about, and we also have what happened on Raw and SmackDown. Gosh, guys, there's a lot of things to talk about. Our listeners are going to be so bored with us by the end of the show, but let's dig into it, shall we? But before we officially kick it off, Kent, let's give a moment of bliss to our listeners.
All right. So I did not have pizza today. That's breaking the fucking streak, Goldberg, and Asuka would be very disappointed in me. But what I do have is I got a message on Facebook, I want to say like last Friday, from the chick that played Phoebe in the Monster Squad, Ashley Bank. I'd reached out to her probably about a decade ago on MySpace. Her and I chatted a little bit, and I asked her about coming on to do a podcast, and she finally reached out and said to contact her in January. She's booked until then, and so it's not David Arquette, but it's a step in the right direction. Very happy about that. If you're not familiar with Monster Squad, it's kind of like the horror version of the Goonies. It's kind of that same era, that same type of cheesiness, feel-good moments. So excited about that. I don't know. I know we're going to talk about wrestling, so I'm not going to be so cheerful after that. But, hey, at least, you know, celebrity reaching back. Oh, it's also Jocelyn James' birthday, so happy birthday, Jocelyn James, and all of your fans of your fine work.
If only you get her to plug your show.
If only I could get her to... We're just going to stop.
Yeah. Let's dig into it, shall we, guys? Let's talk War Games, guys. Let's talk past weekend's NXT TakeOver. First matchup was Ono versus Sullivan. I was good with this match. It wasn't really memorable for me. Steve, what did you think?
It was exactly what it should have been, which is Sullivan pretty much dominating the match and winning, since he's the next monster.
Kent?
To echo, you know, what Steve said, I'll go a little further and say that I kind of wish Sullivan wore pants. I really wish Cassius wore pants, because the cellulite on his like thighs and stuff. He needs to either hit the gym, put some pants on, do something, because those trunks and the fucking shirt do not work, and the dude is gifted as hell, but I can't take him seriously in that attire. Lars, I think, just needs something that makes him look more badass. The other thing I noted when I watched it again was there was a ridiculous amount of stiff or strong style shots. It's interesting. It was quite interesting because normally you don't hear or see that many shots like that in WWE. Especially like Cash's direct punch to like the mouth of Sullivan. It was short, it was sweet, and they put Lars over and Cash's did what he was supposed to do. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next match. We have Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black. This match, guys, was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed watching it, and it's nice to see that, well, Velveteen Dream is one of the most successful Tough Enough contestants out there. He's definitely... He's coming a long way, and I'm very, very proud, especially since he did come from Maryland Championship Wrestling. So, Kent, what were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, kudos to him for pulling the fucking ravishing Rick Rude. That instantly stood out before the announcers even got spit out of their mouths. I was like, yes, he's doing the ravishing Rick Rude. And he kind of had done the little hip sway in the lead up. Which I watched every single NXT over the course of like 4 days since SummerSlam. That was a long, long days. But he really sold the hell out of this feud. And he's got a future, and he can do whatever he wants. Like, he is very gifted. Although I didn't find this to be my match of the night, this is going to be the match that I remember from the night. I thought another match was better. But he really did a great job. And I loved the psychology of like the first 5 minutes without... Aleister Black didn't go for strikes. He went for wrestling, chain wrestling and stuff. So he went the exact opposite of the strikes, which he's known for. It was a nice difference maker for me for the match.
And Steve?
I feel like it would have been a lot better if the camera work was better. They missed a lot of shots, I think, and that kind of ruined the match for me. But it was good. And that move that Velveteen Dream did, that DDT, that was amazing.
All right, let's move on to the next match. We had the Fatal 4-Way for the NXT Women's title. We Nikki Cross, Kairi Sane, Peyton Royce, and Ember Moon. Honestly, guys, I think the right girl won. She earned that title. And it was an all right match, but really, at the end of the day, the right person won. What did you think, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, she definitely deserved to win, but I think having Asuka at the end show up to give her the belt kind of ruined her moment. It's like, oh, hey, you're the champion, but if I was still here, you'd be another loser because I'm Asuka and I destroy everybody. And the match was the best women's match of the weekend, I would say.
Oh, God, you're right.
Yeah, sadly.
That is a fair assessment.
I don't want to jump the gun, but knowing what we know now and what would happen on Monday and Tuesday, I'm sitting here scratching my head why Ember... Quite frankly, Ember, out of all of those girls, is main roster ready. And most of those girls are main roster ready, so this week kind of confused me. Honestly, Ember would... The thing that pisses me off about the whole Asuka thing is that Asuka never did the job. She never put anybody over. This doesn't count, getting in the ring and smiling. That doesn't count as getting somebody over. She never did the favor that so many other people did for her, and it pisses me off because she wasn't out for that long. They've had champions not wrestle much longer. Brock, you know, like, we've seen people go a long period of time before having to vacate the title. So they could have even done a three-way where Asuka didn't get pinned but still lost the belt. They didn't do it right. I'm still angry about it. Really hated the final move of the match where Nikki and Peyton are leaning on each other in the middle of the ring. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, at least, like, do something. Like, they just stood there like idiots for 3 seconds while Ember's like, my time? Yeah? Okay, I'll go. She had, like, one spur of offense, which lasted, like, a minute, and the rest of the time she was the whipping horse of the night. I don't know, and I all those women are very good, with the exception of Kairi Sane. I don't get it. I don't think her... I didn't watch the Mae Young Classic, so maybe that'll give me a better perspective, but I've seen her in a few NXT matches, and I saw that takeover match. I don't get it. Like, her chops, like, that's one of her things, is, like, the one-handed chop. That looks shitty. She does an elbow drop, whoopty-fucking-do. Everybody can do a goddamn elbow drop. Like, I don't get... Is she 100% character, or... Can anybody tell me, like, if she's actually good in ring? Because I have not seen anything that stands out to me.
I haven't seen her in NXT, but I did watch the majority of the Mae Young Classic, and I thought her matches were decent. I thought she was, you know, good. I mean, she was one of the ones that I picked to win the thing. I had, like, three that I was thinking could possibly take it.
Does she have, like, a moveset, though? Or is it just charisma and character?
She's the plucky underdog, like all the other faces in the league.
I don't know if she's all... As of late, we have a lot of people that are getting over strictly on character and charisma. She strikes me as one of those people, and I'm hoping that I'm wrong. But... Like I said, I didn't watch matches. Like, did she, like, Carrie, you watched, did she wrestle, like, longer matches, or were they all kind of shortish?
They were longer matches. A lot of the Mae Young Classic matches were long, and a lot of them were good. Like, we'll get to this later, but even Sarah Logan, she's really good.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck she is, by the way. And I watched all the NXT, I'm like, who the fuck? I know we'll get to it, but seriously, I didn't know who the hell Sarah Logan was, so, yeah.
All right, let's move on to the NXT Championship match. Drew McIntyre versus Andrade Cien Almas. I always get this guy's name mixed up. Okay, good, I got it. With a new champ crowned and an injured Drew McIntyre. This match was really good. Not as good for me as the Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black match, but it was good. Steve, what were your thoughts?
The ending surprised me. I honestly didn't think Cien Almas had a chance the way they built up McIntyre. And then when McIntyre lost, I thought he'd be getting called up to one of the brands. And seeing the injury was actually a legit injury, he might be in trouble. Because I don't know what they're going to do with him when he comes back. But it was a good match. Cien surprised me because he didn't really do anything for me until that match. But now I see what all the hype was about.
And Kent, what were your thoughts?
I mean, I was happy and sad simultaneously because, I mean, you know, I've been hyping up Andrade for a while, saying he should be called up to the main roster. So for me, I was extremely happy, and I like this. Selena Vega, I think her name is. She's a good mouthpiece for him, and she's attractive, and she could do a little hurricanrana here and there. Really good addition for the CN package. I was surprised. I really did not see it coming. It was my match of the night, though. The ending, that spike DDT, just... It looked painful, and then to know, like, what happened, like, the injury, how it happened, I didn't think that was going to be the injury that came from that particular move. With that being said, those guys worked a really good pace. I don't know what's going to happen. I wouldn't bring Drew back to NXT. When he's healed, I would just call him up to the main roster. The dude is main roster ready. He's better than probably 70 to 80% of the main roster right now. He is jacked, in great shape, has a good moveset, good on the mic. Hell, I just found out this week when I was binge-watching NXT, when he first got fired, 4 days prior to his firing, him and his now girlfriend, but then, or his now wife, they just moved into a new apartment. So 4 days after moving in, he got fired. Like, this dude is just kind of cursed in a lot of ways. And then, of course, to go to TNA, I mean, what bigger curse can there be than TNA, right? I don't know if he's injury prone or not, but I fear that he may get that label. So I hope, I don't know. Does anybody know how long bicep injuries are? I think 4 to 6 months is about right. Steve, got any idea?
I have no idea. But I'm hoping that they can call him up and continue his original angle of being the chosen one and being with the commands somehow.
Like, Drew defending Vince's honor and taking on Kevin Owens is a storyline that would be amazing to me.
Oh, yeah. Why the hell not? It could be him and Shane against, well, Brian can't wrestle, but I guess Owens and Zayn.
Yeah, something like that would really work. Drew is really, really good. All I can say is it's amazing how he was good when he was in WWE, and then he left, and it's amazing how much he progressed. Like, he's a completely different dude now. So, shame, but he's done a great job. It was a great match.
All right, guys, let's move on to the main event. Let's move on to War Games. We had Sanity versus the Undisputed Era versus Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong, with the winners being the Undisputed Era with Adam Cole, baby. All right, what did you guys think? I thought it was, for my first War Games match, this was exciting for me. I could not believe the carnage.
You never watched any War Games matches before that?
I have not. This was my first one. So
wow.
I went into it with no expectations whatsoever. So I enjoyed what I saw. What did you think, Steve?
It's not a real War Games match. Sure, it had two rings. It had most of the cage minus the top. Not enough blood. And the pinfall was ridiculous because it should be submission or surrender. And a guy the size of Cole should not be the only one surviving at the end, jumping on top of the cage. Killian Dean did a drop kick and was out the rest of the match for some reason. Did nothing the rest of the match. And Cole somehow survives jumping on top of the rope, their cage. And if you escape, you lose the match. Why they stop him from escaping? Just let him leave, let his team lose, and then continue on the match. So it was a lot of stuff wrong with it.
What do you think, Kent?
Yeah, to go along with what Steve just said, why not? Why did Roderick try to suplex him in? Why not try to knock him out? You knock him out, you eliminate that team.
Exactly. That's what I would have done.
That's way more strategic. It would have been a hell of a big fall. I mean, that's the reason Adam Cole was up there, was take a big bump. So why not do that? It would have made for an interesting story where the other two guys had to get out, and then it would have been Sanity versus AOP and Roderick. Somebody wins, and then Undisputed Era comes in and, you know, beats them with weapons or whatever. Like, they could have still gained back some heat without winning. For a War Games match, pseudo-War Games match, it didn't feel like a War Games match. It really didn't. I like the two-team format, two teams of four guys.
two of five.
Yeah, or even five. I don't know. It just didn't feel right. I hated how as soon as a team got to go in, it was both guys that got to go in. That's never been War Games. It's always been one person, then you alternate. So that's why the two teams works better than the three teams. But they still could have done a rotation. God, how many fucking shark cages does WWE own? I can't be the only person that's wondering, like, what the fuck? Did somebody just, like, have money and they're like, hey, let's invest in some shark cages. Okay, we can use them somehow.
I think it was a mistake on the invoice. Like, it was supposed to be like one shark cage and it was 10 instead.
Yeah, and Vince is like, the fuck? I don't know. The wrong team. All right, going in, you had to know the Undisputed Era was going to win. But they're not doing anything for me. I wish Kevin Nash was around to just bury them as vanilla midgets right now. The only person I'm kind of digging, I thought I liked Bobby Fish, but no, he's not doing it for me. Kyle O'Reilly, on the other hand, he walks really goofy and he has some good moves. I could possibly get behind him in something like 205. Not as a badass, not a single one of these guys look like a badass. If I met them in real life, would I fear them in any way? No. No, I would not. I would not be afraid of Adam Cole. Not one bit. Like, these guys do not strike fear, and I feel professional wrestlers, at no point should you say, I want to fight this guy and think I have a chance to win. When I look at Braun Strowman, those words never come in my mind. I don't ever sit there and go, I could take him. No, no, that never happens. Or even like Kalisto, I think he would just kick my ass. These guys are not threatening in the least. Like, aside from Ellsworth, who sadly is gone, like, there's not many guys on the main roster whose ass I think I can kick. I can kick all three of the Undisputed Era's asses. And it just shouldn't be. Felt bad for Alexander Wolf. That head gash was real and bad. And Killian hit coast to coast, and the camera work was so bad. Let's keep focusing on the guy looking at the ref waiting for the signal that Dane's about ready to jump. Why do that camera angle? You could have done any other camera angle other than the one that exposed the whole move and ruined it. Really, it ruined it. I wanted to like this match. I liked Sandy's part and I liked AOP's part, but it was not War Games to me. It's kind of a shitty way to end the night for me, quite frankly.
Killian Dane was amazing, though. He's a real winner that night.
I thought all members of Sandy came off looking good, and I thought AOP came off looking good. I did come across one question, though. Is there any rhyme or reason that AOP can ever split up? Like, I don't think they can ever split up. They're too similar, right? Like, would there ever be a point? It's like splitting up Jay and Jimmy Uso. Is there a point?
I don't think so. They seem to make too much sense.
Like, they don't seem like singles wrestlers. They don't seem like they're ever going to evolve to that state. So, which is good. We need tag teams. We don't... WWE, it'd be great if you just keep some teams together instead of calling them up to the main roster, splitting them up, and be like, well, we can make a single star out of this guy. No, doesn't work all the time. Stop throwing singles guys together. Just build a team.
The Jason Jordan experiment is going swimmingly well.
But Daddy, why?
Oh, he just... I'm done with him. I have washed my hands of that guy. I think I mentioned that in the blog this week. At 90s.com/wrestling.
Like, it's one of the biggest flops of the year. And there's been many flops, but I can't think of a bigger flop than this whole Jason Jordan angle.
Like, let's bring up one of the more or less best tag teams to come out of NXT in a while to have a illegitimate son storyline and have the guy who you put in that tag team to begin with because he wasn't cutting it as a singles wrestler and expect him to get over with the crowd. Good job, WWE.
Sound logic to me. I don't see what the problem is.
You know, the other thing is, If you think about it, so they put Gable with Shelton. And Shelton, by the way, goddamn, he's a big dude. He is bulked up. But if you think about it, couldn't you picture Jason actually fitting better with Shelton as a tag team than Gable with Shelton?
It's because they're both black. That's racist.
They also had the same hairline, Steve. Get over it, okay? But seriously, like, Gable would have made the better child story. Jason's still a better tag team guy. Like, they really picked the wrong alpha.
Yeah, like the same like kind of goofy humor is like Gable and Angle, not Jordan and... I mean, yeah,
Gable has definitely... Gable has a similar persona as Kurt. Like, it seemed so natural. I don't get why they changed it.
Both Olympians. I mean, yeah, it would have been a lot more sense. Yeah, to let Swerve in there.
I don't get it. Go on, Carrie.
Oh, well.
I'm a wine.
So, last final comments on TakeOver. Anything else you guys want to add, or should we move on to Survivor Series?
I think it was like the weakest takeover of the year. Like, all takeovers are usually good, but this one didn't strike me.
The quality's been like declining. I've noticed in the takeovers. It's still better than the main roster pay-per-views. But...
Not to mention, did you guys see the photos of the crowd for Takeover? There were a lot of empty seats, apparently.
There were some camera shots at the very beginning showing how empty the camera side was. It was bad.
I was hoping Power Trip would play the intro, but apparently that only happened for whatever band that was last time.
Oh, what the fuck? Was their name like Orange or something?
Oh, yeah, Code Orange, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Power Trip a lot better than them, but whatever.
Are they the ones that did the one song for the show?
The yes.
Executioner's Tax?
Yeah, that was them.
Is that them?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no special entrances either, right? There was nothing... This didn't feel special. All takeovers tend to feel special, but this year it just keeps feeling less and less, and I feel like WWE is not making good use of their homegrown talent. They're relying too much on guys that have made it elsewhere. And they've done that for a while with main events and stuff, and that's cool. Finn, Bobby, Joe... Sammy, like, they all made it, KO. But they usually filled a good chunk of TakeOver with some of their homegrown stars, and I'm not seeing that. Who? Velveteen Dream, well, he was technically on the indies. Lars Sullivan. And I'm running out of names of people who are homegrown.
AOP.
AOP. And there you go. Like, I don't know if Alexander Wolf was. He seems like probably he was on the indies. I think he was.
I think he was from the Performance Center.
That's good.
I think he was like the first German guy they ever signed. So I think he's just straight up Performance Center.
He's German. That explains why I like him so much. I thought it was just the nightstick thing. Hmm.
The big Boss Man thing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Boss Man was my first wrestling idol. So yeah.
All right, guys, let's move on to Survivor Series, shall we? If I can actually, you know, untie my tongue.
And if we have to, I guess we have to.
Yeah, well, we have. Let's touch on the pre-show to start. First match of the pre-show, we had Elias versus Matt Hardy. Winner, Elias. I like Elias. That's all I have to say about this match. Kent, what about you?
Fat Hardy, lose some weight. You're too fat. Hardy. Seriously, why is Elias not doing more? The guy has a great gimmick and he's owning it, and they're still like, we don't know if we want to push this guy. Jason Jordan, though, there's a guy of the future. Are you shitting on my balls with this stuff right now? Elias is two times the fucking wrestler, has a personality, has charisma. He's like the total fucking package and he's still learning, but let's push Jason fucking Jordan. End rant.
And Steve, what were your thoughts?
It was a good opener. The right man won. Matt Hardy is pretty much doing nothing without that gimmick. So, yeah, there's not much to say about it, really.
If they get the rights, do you think Vince is ever... At this point, do you think they're even going to pursue trying to do the broken gimmick, or is it too far past to even worry about it at this rate?
I don't know.
I would say there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, fans are still doing the delete thing every time Matt Hardy comes out. So it's still fresh in everybody's mind. Whether or not WWE will pull the trigger on it, that's a whole nother story. And they probably won't.
It blows my mind. Like, how much can GFW TNA even really ask for at this point? Like, they're making no money off of it, and they're bleeding money. At this point, shouldn't they be like, hey, we're willing to make a deal? Like, that's how poorly run that fucking company is. They're not even willing to, like, strike a deal.
I think if Matt Hardy's wife kept her mouth shut, it might have been done by now.
I think if Matt Hardy's wife would keep her mouth shut, Matt Hardy would be a more successful individual, but she gets him in the doghouse way too fucking often. She is an awful human being.
Well, I mean, she's not Hitler, but...
She's not Hitler. Can we get that on a shirt with her face on it?
PromoCNTs.com.
If I've learned anything from my foray into the indies, you can put anything on a t-shirt. Anything. And it makes a ton of cash, apparently. But anyway, with that said, let's move on. We had a cruiserweight championship match between Enzo and Kalisto, with Enzo retaining. I don't even care. Steve, what are your thoughts?
I think Kalisto's done, because they had him lose clean to Enzo. Enzo didn't cheat at all, I don't think. It was a straight-up win for Enzo, which should never happen.
And Kent?
I wanted to like this match. I'm still hoping. I do notice that Enzo's getting better in the ring. It's not a huge improvement, but he is trying. Whether he continues to try, I don't know. But this feud, this angle never worked for me. I'd like to have. I wish Aries was still around, or I wish he would feud with Kendrick. Somebody who can actually give it back to him on the mic. That's what they need right now. They need somebody who can give it back to Enzo on the mic and really light that division up.
Neville was good on the mic.
Yeah, and he may or may not still be there. We don't know. I hope he's still coming back. That'd be good. I mean, granted, like, let's pit Hideo Itami against Enzo, because that'll be great mic work.
Really. He'll kick his head off, at least. That's good.
Yeah, we'll go get some go-to-sleep action. So there's that. Half of NXT could really go to 205 right now. There's a large chunk of NXT that should just... They should be like, you know what, guys? We've done all we can. Let's move you to 205 and let you go.
Johnny Gargano.
I didn't like Gargano's new song, and now it's grown on me. I don't know why it's grown on me, but I like it. I don't know what the hell the name of it is. I don't know who sings it. Some chick, and I don't know. It grows on me. Gargano's got to stay in NXT, though, until Ciampa returns, right?
I mean, they could forget the feud they wanted to. But yeah, he has to stay around until then.
I kind of feel bad for Johnny, because he's not doing anything, really. Like, he's just treading water.
He's got a match for the European title on next NXT.
Oh, the UK champ. Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right.
The UK champion, not European title.
Why the fuck? Seriously, every time I see a European. God damn it, now Steve's got me saying it. A UK division match, they always are really good. I really dig them. I would like to see more of them.
I want more Wolfgang.
Wolfgang is awesome. Please, WWE, listen to us. Give us more UK. Give them their own show.
And get rid of 205 Live.
Or maybe a weekly match on any of the shows.
Not enough time.
Yeah.
Stretch for time as it is. There's just no room for that. Those matches.
SmackDown could feature it once a week, one match a week. Why not?
Why not Raw? I mean, they have 3 hours to fill. I mean, that would take time away from, you know, backstage segments and recaps, but...
How would Jason Jordan get over, Kerry, if we have European UK matches, huh? How's he going to get over?
He's not getting over to begin with. I don't think one UK match is going to do anything to help that poor guy.
You know who else they get over for a while? The Rock. Just think about that.
Oh, going back to the whole race thing, huh, Steve? And haircut.
Well, the Rock's half Samoan too, though, so he's that for him.
Yeah, and I think with The Rock and Jason Jordan, you're comparing apples to oranges. They're not the same person or the same type of wrestler.
When people say apples to oranges, I think of the cereal Apple Jacks, because they're orange, but they're apple flavored.
Oh, that was so good. Like, I like that cereal. Do you still like that?
Yeah, they do. I just bought off of Amazon a 30-pack of like the little mini boxes.
Yep.
So, like,
the travel packs, yeah.
Ah, so good for when I'm hungry and I just want a little something sweet, but I don't want, like, candy. Or I don't want real fruit. I'm going to have Apple Jacks.
I'm at fruit-flavored cereal.
Or Fruit Loops, yeah. Like, it's a win-win.
All right, let's move on. Final pre-show match, we had KO and Sami Zayn versus Breeze Dongo. I messaged you and Tuan, Ken, about this. I felt it was a travesty. KO and Sammy were on a pre-show. I was just upset after that. I almost wanted to throw in the towel on the whole show. But that's just
you probably should have been better off.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right, Steve. What did you think of this match?
It's a shame that Breezango wasn't doing more either. I guess they got to get the paycheck somehow. I don't know. It was just awful that they had to open the show. Well, not even open the show, close the pre-show. And one thing about the pre-show we won't mention because that wasn't a match, but Charlotte was god-awful in her promo.
Oh, yeah. That was part of the conversation, too, where...
I hope you beat me.
Was it you, Gary, or Eric that said that took 10 steps backwards from that promo?
Eric said that. She just showed how weak she was. She is. I just... Oh, my Lord. Like, even Alexa's just like,
I want you to beat me.
I can't.
I hope you beat me, Alexa. Okay, then lay down in the ring and let me pin you.
Alexa basically sitting there like, how do I answer this? I have no response for this.
Woo! Yeah.
Would be great having Ric Flair as a father.
Yeah, that's how you get, you know, 5 title runs. I will say this. The Ric Flair documentary on ESPN was really good and also incredibly sad. So, good job. But, and the whole sad part is just how Ric kind of ruined Reed's life. And, like, he just allowed Reed to do so much partying, drinking so early on to, like, emulate his father. And it just, Reed's body could not handle what Ric's, because Ric's body can somehow consume alcohol at ridiculous rates, and he's fine. He's not normal. Reed was probably a normal-bodied person, and he just couldn't handle it. It sucks because Reed's death is what got Charlotte into wrestling. So all these things are negative, including this match. You have a tag team division on SmackDown. There was no need for Sammy and KO to even be in this match. No need. You could have had Breezango and the Ascension versus any other teams. You could have had Shelton and Gable, Hype Bros, the two Carlito's brother-cousin mix.
The Bludgeon Brothers, too.
Well, they weren't available, Steve, okay? They were busy bludgeoning things. They did not make an opening in their calendar until Tuesday, so they were unavailable. But, like, there's a ton of tag teams. Why didn't you do a 4-on-4 tag match? And one other really minor complaint. Does anybody remember back? I know Steve does. You might too, Carrie. Like, Survivor Series teams, when they actually had cool names, like, usually named after, like, the star or the captain of the team, I miss... It's way cooler than Team Raw and Team SmackDown. The Hulkamaniacs, the Ultimate Warriors, just something. I don't know.
They also actually had feuds tied into the teams, not made up feuds in like a week before the thing.
Right, and everybody kind of, I don't know, just worked so much cooler back in the day. And I don't think it's nostalgia. I think it's fact.
Just like
also,
War Games.
KO, yeah. Did either of you watch KO's documentary on the network yet?
No, I did not. At that point, it was just too much wrestling for me. I had to tap out.
I had nothing better to do. I think it was last night. So I watched it. It's like 45 minutes narrated by Michael Rapaport, who I love. It's good. I mean, it's what you would expect. It amazed me, Vince's reaction to KO at WrestleMania. Because KO went backstage and was like, are we all right? And Vince is like, no. Like, very, like, he was a pissed off parent sounding there. And I don't know. I don't remember the match. That match wasn't bad at WrestleMania. Jericho versus KO, was it? Was it underwhelming? I don't remember anymore.
It may have been underwhelming, either. But they may have had a time cut due to someone's entrance taking 6 hours. I don't know.
Fair enough. I don't know. It just seemed weird, the reaction. But I don't know. I don't remember that match being shitty. So that's why I don't know. It's weird. Let's just go to Survivor Series. I got more insults to hurl at people.
All right, let's move on to the main show. First matchup, we had the Shield versus New Day. Winner, do I have to say it? We already know who won. We knew who was going to win before the match even occurred. All right, the Shield won. What'd you think, Kent?
You know, I stopped fisting so I could watch the match. And my fists were happy that the Shield won, I guess. Honestly, the match happened, and I didn't hate the match, but I didn't like, there was not a single matchup that favored New Day. There was not a single one-on-one matchup that favored them. So, like, it just didn't work for me. It was okay. I don't think I'd watch it again, though. There was no point in rewatching it. There was no point in watching it in the first place due to the inevitability of the outcome. That would have been a great time to have done something surprising to kick off the show. That would have been a real surprise. But, nah, played it safe, so believe that.
And, Steve, what did you think?
Pretty much the same thing. It's kind of like the whole Survivor Series was kind of like the whose end is it anyway, where like the points don't matter. Like, nothing mattered in the Survivor Series at all, except for the main event. So the matches were good, but they were just there.
Brand pride, Steve. Brand pride. Like, at least it could have been like, hey, whichever brand wins gets an extra $10,000 in their next paycheck. Something. Like, you could have said something. It doesn't matter how bullshit it is.
Yeah.
Say that the winning side gets something.
Winning side like, gets main event at WrestleMania.
Sure. Or gets first pick in the next draft.
Or 30 in a Rumble.
There you go. Like, there's all kinds of incentives, and they chose not to give us a single one. Also, when the fuck did Dean Ambrose become the workhorse of the Shield? Why is Seth Rollins no longer as good as he was? Because Seth Rollins is not as good as he was a year and a half ago.
Knee what? Surgeries?
Is it? It's just the injuries, you think?
Probably, yeah.
Combination of that, maybe frustration with how things are going for him?
Dean worked his ass off in that match, and I mean, kudos to Dean. It's just that I'm used to Seth being the workhorse of that team. So it struck me a little odd. Good for Dean. I also didn't care much for Renee's attire.
Oh, Renee all that is flashy like, top thing.
She was too sparkly.
Yeah. It's like every other pay-per-view, she either looks really good or she not so good. It flips every other pay-per-view, I swear. It's very weird.
It's like that Seinfeld episode with a girl in the light.
In the right light? Yep.
All right. Let's move on to the next match, which was the Women's Survivor Series match with Team Raw winning and Asuka as the sole survivor. I have to say, guys, I expected no other outcome for this. You have to keep Asuka looking strong, in my opinion. But what did you think, Steve?
How does Becky Lynch lose to a roll-up like 2 seconds into the match? And Naomi and Alicia Fox had like the worst thing in the history of wrestling, I think. But yes, Asuka needs to stay strong. She should have been it should have been 5-on-1 and her taking all 5 out. That's what it should have been. Instead of her being, what, 1-on-2? 1-on-3? 1-on-2, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. I think so.
She should have just destroyed all 5 of them at once and then ended it that way.
The order of elimination was a little baffling to me. As Steve said, the Becky Lynch thing. Becky had a shit week. Let's just acknowledge that right now. Sunday was shit. Tuesday was shit for her. She's not had a good week. I don't know what's going on. She had a bad year. She really has. Like, since she dropped the belt to Bliss, I don't understand. Like, she was the inaugural SmackDown Women's Champ, and it's like they forgot how to utilize this super talented woman. Blows my mind. I'm still saying Alicia Fox did not get pinned. That didn't happen. It was not a 3 count. The ref fucked that up. It was not a 3 count. So Alicia Fox and Asuka won that match. I'm going to the Curtis Axel route here. She did not get pinned. She did not lose. Also, how underwhelming was the Nia versus Tamina stuff? I was like, I kind of got excited that I was like, neither of these girls are very good.
I mean, I think I messaged you and Twan. I'm like, yay, female battle of the hosses. And then I watched it and I'm like, And I'm underwhelmed.
They didn't kill each other, so that's good. That's good.
Oh, you know, what the fuck's up with the refs? Can somebody explain to me when... Alright, so Naya got counted out because Tamina slid in before the 10 count. Ref didn't restart the count. But in, like, another match, Joe rolls in. It was Joe versus Finn. And on Monday night, Joe rolls in, and then the ref restarts his count. Why does a ref, like, stop his count and restart it? Is there anything in the official handbook, Steve, that you know of about this?
I never bought that, so I cannot consult it. I guess it's like the strike zone in baseball? Where it's like up to the umpire's discretion? I don't know.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong here, but there's a 5 count once you get tagged out. Like, once you're the illegal man in the ring, you have 5 count or else DQ. Why does the ref even bother counting to 5 anymore? Is there a point? Because that rule got so fucking blown out the window Sunday.
Do they count still?
Yeah, they still count. And then the ref, like, gets in, like, some squabble with somebody and, like, oh, fuck this, I ain't gonna keep counting. And next thing you know, fucking Shield's been in there for half the goddamn match altogether, fisting each other.
The damn numbers game.
Ugh, stupid refs.
Another thing that applies to this Survivor Series matchup and the main event, why don't you pick up pinfalls or submissions?
Why? I've never understood that. If you have a teammate getting pinned or in a submission hold, you run in, you break it up. That happened once in the women's match. I can't remember who broke up what, but it did happen once. And that was it. It makes no sense. Why are you weakening your team unless you're genuinely, like, pissed off with somebody? It makes no sense.
Because nothing mattered.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on, shall we? We have the U.S. title versus Intercontinental title match. Baron Corbin versus The Miz. Winner, Corbin. I liked Corbin in this match. That was just some good healing on his part. Even talking shit to Maurice, that was great. What did you think, Kent?
This was my match of the night. I understand why the next match we talk about is a lot of people's match of the night. I think this had... It was slightly less in-ring work, but the psychology killed the next match. The in-ring psychology, the flow to the match, Baron selling the knee. I didn't know Baron was actually capable of selling as well as he was. Very surprised, very happy, very proud of Baron, since he's my boy. I thought Miz did a hell of a job. Come find out, Miz is going to be leaving to go do Marine 6, because that's a worthwhile franchise that tens of people probably see every year.
Well, and his wife's pregnant. So.
And his wife is pregnant, yeah. I liked it. I really liked everything about it. There was nothing it wasn't long. Like, it was a good time match. It didn't bore me. And Corbin told fans to shut up and sit down. Good for him.
How about you, Steve?
Oh, yeah. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm going to miss The Miz on Raw. He's been probably one of the top people in the company as far as mic work in wrestling. And Corbin brought his A-game against The Miz. Probably two of the best heels, I think, in the company right now. Corbin just because he's a dick, and then Miz because he's a good character.
Is there any way that possibly Elias gets put in The Miz's spot as the guy that helps get over others? Like, is Elias... I know he's not at the same skill level as Miz, either in-ring or on the mic, but... Is he the natural second banana on Raw to do that?
Probably. Maybe he can get the Mistrage to be his roadies.
Oh my god.
Keep them on TV.
He could get roadies. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
As long as Axel keeps the neck brace, like Joel Gertner.
Yes. He should do an intro like that, too.
I could totally see Bo Dallas, like, rocking the jean vest. With, like, the fringe and stuff. like the typical roadie outfit. I could see him rocking that.
Hopefully a bandana would be good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
He needs a bandana, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving on now. We had the Battle of the Tag Team Champions. We had the Usos versus Cesaro, with the Usos getting the win. Just to kind of echo what Kent said, this was definitely my match of the night. I enjoyed it immensely. It was really good. It was well done. Both teams put on a really good show. Steve, what did you think?
Yeah, this is probably my match of the night too. It's great tag team wrestling. I just wish the Revival was somehow involved.
They're due back in December, right around my birthday, hopefully.
Oh, hopefully they come back.
Birthday gift.
But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see great old school big tag team wrestling. And when it's good, it's probably the best match of the night. Just because you don't see it very often.
Well, I mean, hasn't this been the trend the whole second half of 2017? The tag team match steals the show at every pay-per-view? I mean, that's been true in NXT before they gutted the whole roster, but I mean, NXT started this whole thing where the tag team matches were killing everything else, and now both main rosters, with the Usos and New Day and Cesaro versus Shield Boys, it's been like match of the night pretty much every pay-per-view with the tag team division, and this was no different. Like, I have no complaints about this match. I just preferred Miz versus Baron, but this was a really good match. So, I don't know. Something in tag team division's going right on pay-per-view, but not on TV. Why does it not transfer to TV? Is it a time thing?
I think it's
or
a time
just
thing.
Horrible writing?
You get like 2 minutes on TV. So I don't think they only do anything. 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever.
Do you think Gallows and Anderson just sit there and cry in their pillow at night?
Like, no, they just count the paycheck.
And Anderson does have his hot Asian wife to go home to.
True.
He has not said that in a while. I missed that aspect of his character.
Has anyone actually seen her?
No.
Looked her up. It took me a while. Found her. He did good.
Is she like Kamanawanalea?
She is not, but yeah. She's a hot Asian lady, so that
good for,
kudos
good for him.
To Anderson.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, while we're on the subject of women, let's talk the Battle of the Women's Champions. Charlotte versus Alexa. Winner Charlotte. I have no words. I mean, I'll be honest, and I mean, you guys can say what you will about this. I like Charlotte. I'm sick of her as champ. I really think at this point it's nepotism at its finest, but that's maybe just me. What do you think, Steve?
I think I hate her as a wrestler, not as a champ. I thought it was kind of odd that Alexa, who was undersized, dominated most of the match, it seemed like. And definitely the last name won it for Charlotte and nothing else.
What do you think, Kent?
Yeah, so this week it was cool that Father Gabriel and Negan had like a heart-to-heart conversation. We got a little feedback or background on Negan's character's past history. Found out that he worked with kids. I mean, the true story really is that Negan was a PE teacher and he had a very sick wife and he was cheating on her and she had cancer at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse breakout. And his wife's name, which they didn't say on TV yet, but his wife's name is Lucille. Henceforth, the name of the bat.
I hate how they try to give him a backstory and make him, like, sympathetic. Oh, he had cancer of his wife, but he was cheating on her, so he's a piece of shit anyways.
Yeah, there's a short-lived comic that, if you go to omgbopeep.com, you can find it there for free, that has everything put together. And some people, believe me, some people really hate the fact that like they try to make Negan somewhat sympathetic, and other people like the whole three-dimensional character ideology, or the whole theory that, hey, if we'd seen Negan's group from the beginning, they'd be the good guys and Rick's group would be the bad guys. Whatever.
Isn't
Whatever,
Rick's group kind of the bad guys anyways? they go to other towns and they're taking this, taking this.
Saviors?
Yeah.
They killed like 90 saviors before Negan killed a single one of theirs, but...
Didn't they go to that garbage town and take all the guns or something, too? Just for no reason.
Well, Rick... well, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on, but... you know, one other thing I could say is that there's nepotism in Walking Dead, too, because Rick left Carl in charge of Alexandria, just like another Rick would do. Another Rick with flair would do.
We tie all together.
And I tied it all together.
Yes. Yes, you did. All right. Let's move on to the next match. We had champion versus champion. We had Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles. I know this match was decent, I guess. I just... Brock is what's wrong with the WWE right now to me. And that took away from the match for me. And also, I think he is reckless as hell. I was really waiting for a story the next day to say AJ's injured. Is going to be out for 6 months. Because he basically... Brock throws people around and he acts like he doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Well, he's also gassed. Gonna hurt. He was gassed like 2 minutes in the match. So...
But that's... I mean, have a little like... Be cognizant of the fact that you have to keep the person you're in the ring with safe. I don't think he has that awareness. Or if he does, he just doesn't give a shit. He just bothers me. He's what's wrong with wrestling. His contract is done after WrestleMania, and I say Vince lets him walk. I think he should. What do you think, Kent?
I think that Vince probably tells Brock to damn near be reckless. I don't think it's a conscious decision on Brock's end, because in Brock's first run, yeah, he has careless moments. That's just been Brock in a nutshell, but
he's a UFC fighter. His job is to hurt people.
Yeah, I legitimately feel that Vince tells him to go out and be a little more rough to keep the persona, and it's not good. It's not good in the least bit for anybody's health. But can we talk about Brock's health for a second? Not only was he gassed in 2 minutes, that motherfucker turned purple in 5 minutes, and I'm like, how is he passing physicals? He's flabby, first of all, which means he's not on steroids, good for him, but dude's going to drop dead in the middle of the ring, and that would be the reason not to re-sign Brock, because he's going to die in the ring from a fucking heart attack.
Who do you think would die first, Shane O'Mac or Brock? In the ring.
If they fought each other?
Do their hair exploding. Yeah.
You know, I think Shane can go longer. I mean, Grant Brock could throw him through something and kill him. So, that's kind of... I still say Brock's going to die. He's going to die. Sable is going to be a widow very soon. And it saddens me. Paul Heyman's fat ass is going to outlive Brock Lesnar. Think about that. Not good.
What did you think of the match, Steve?
I think the fact that the match was as good as it was is a testament to how awesome AJ Styles is. And I think they should cut Brock just for cost-cutting measures. His salary is way too expensive for what you get out of him. So let him go back to UFC or whatever and just be out of everyone's hair.
Honestly, how many extra fans do you think tune in because they know Brock Lesnar from UFC? Like, it can't be enough to substantiate his paycheck anymore.
At this point, I'd say no.
It's weird.
Isn't it true that the people, like, fans of WWE usually don't follow UFC and kind of vice versa? Like, there's always, like, this debate online between the two fan bases. I don't think anybody from UFC is going, oh, I have to turn into a WWE event because Brock Lesnar is fighting. It's like, oh, to them it's fake fight.
I think it's the opposite. Like, people tune in the UFC to watch Brock fight.
Yes. But not I was just going to say, wrestling fans tuned into UFC, but UFC fans did not tune into WWE. What's the point? UFC fans are just going to call it fake-ass fighting, which they have points to be made.
Like, I would have watched Brock Lesnar against Jon Jones. And I don't usually watch UFC at all. But I would have watched that.
until John Jones kind of just threw away his whole fucking career because he's an idiot again.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Best fighter in the world. Nope.
God damn it. You know, I wish we never got an Anderson Silva versus John Jones, but I don't think we did we, Steve?
I don't believe so. No,
like,
because
at their peak,
yeah.
I think that would have been an amazing fight.
That would have been great. But we're not going to get it.
Here's a question that I've been debating as of late. Right now, it's unquestionable that AJ Styles is the best in the business. I really have a hard time believing that anybody else has anybody else that they can name. AJ's the best in the business. How many more years can he keep it up? And if you had to predict who it would be, who do you think is going to take the mantle from AJ Styles? Steve, I'll go to you since I know Carrie's processing it because her eyes got very big for a second.
As greatest wrestler of the time?
Yeah, like who's going to take the mantle as the best in the business when AJ's going to inevitably lose a step, and he's already talked about in like 2 years he's probably going to be out. So when he goes, who's going to take that mantle of best in the business, do you think?
Braun Strowman. No, I don't know. I'd say someone with Joe, but they're the same age.
If Braun Strowman can hit a flying forearm, I will get behind that. Just saying.
You probably could if you wanted to. Samoa Joe is about the same age as AJ Styles. All the guys that are good wrestlers are about the same age. I don't know who's younger. I don't know how old Omega is. He's supposed to be the best in the world, too, but I've never seen him, so I can't tell you.
He's 34.
He's up there, too, wrestling-wise.
Yeah, it's tough because they're all at that weird age.
Cesaro, right now, maybe?
Well, isn't he? He's in his 30s, too, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
And Sammy and KO are probably all in that same age bracket, too, right?
Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen Dream is a very good pick, honestly. I would go so far as to say Drew McIntyre, if he could stay healthy, would actually have a legit shot at it.
Aleister Black, possibly. He's young enough, I think.
He is. I mean, who knows? Corbin could still develop into something more in-ring. I don't know if he's going to develop much more in-ring, but usually he's not the type of guy that can carry a match.
Big guys never get, you know, called greatest ever because they're kind of limited in what they can do. Yeah.
Taker is.
Yeah, Taker, yeah. No. That's it, though.
And Mike Awesome. Come on, Steve.
True.
Mike Awesome.
In his day, he was amazing.
Like, in his day, he could carry a fucking match, which is really ridiculous when you think about it. Is Seth and Dean, are they in the conversation? Possibly?
Dean's moveset has been kind of comical, so I'm saying no.
Dean's moveset would have to change entirely for him to be considered, and Seth would have to get his confidence back in order to be considered, I think.
A couple years ago, Seth had been right up there.
A couple years ago, Seth was probably 1B to AJ's 1A. And now I don't know.
Am I the only one who's thinking the one person who could take it over can't wrestle anymore?
He would have. He's older than Styles, isn't he?
If he got over the contract dispute and went away from UFC, yes.
Oh, I'm not talking about.
She's talking about Daniel Bryan.
I'm referring to Punk because Punk was better. I will always argue that Punk was a better overall wrestler than Daniel Bryan. Not in ring, but overall, he was a better. He just was. He mouthed off to the point that he could make people care. Daniel Bryan had a yes chant, which still kind of baffles me today that the yes chant was that successful. Does it boggle anybody else's mind that that is what got a person over, is saying the word yes?
I didn't get him.
You're talking to someone who made 100 yes signs at a Raw after WrestleMania and handed them out to the crowd and got her and her husband in. I believe the WWE Encyclopedia and on their website for said 100
volume
yes signs.
Volume 2 of Encyclopedia.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes chant was a product of Bryan's popularity. It wasn't the cause of it.
I agree. I
it's
mean,
like the what like chant. It's like Stone Cold didn't wasn't made because of the what chant. He made the what chant, unfortunately.
And the what chant was such a stupid accidental thing.
Yeah.
And now it's really just stupid.
Was. Yes.
So bad. It was really stupid. Probably like the second week into it. It really was.
When
stupid.
When they chanted what during the national anthem, I was like, "That's done. We're done with that."
Absolutely.
Speaking of things that we're done with, let's move on and talk about the men's Survivor Series match, shall we, guys? All right, so we had Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, obviously. Raw wins with Triple H and Braun not eliminated. I'm glad Braun didn't get eliminated. That was good. Good way to, you know, keep his momentum going. But why is it every time I turn around, Triple H is right there in the thick of things?
It's WrestleMania season.
Ugh. What else? What were your thoughts, Steve?
The first third was really cool when they had all the matchups, like Cena, Angle again, and then Joe and I think Triple H, Rude. That was really good. But then it was kind of like a cluster, and it became like setting up stuff for Shane and Triple H to do, and it was just ridiculous after that point.
And Kent?
I liked the whole Triple H and Bobby Roode matchup, because that was like, it was very mirror image. I liked it. There were some spots that I did like in this match. I watched the whole match. I can't say that like I was ever bored during the match. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised because I really thought Shane was going to win the match. I really thought Shane was winning that match, so I was very wrong. And then I think about this whole like Braun Strowman being one of the two last people. And this is like such a WWE thing because like fans are now just like bent over thinking, no, they're not going to stick Roman Reigns in our ass. We're going to be fine. They're actually going to push Braun Strowman. And they're trying to fuck with fans right now thinking that they're going to push Braun Strowman and not Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. No, the Roman Reigns cock is going to be inserted in all of our asses very soon. And we're not going to see it coming, a lot of them. It sucks.
It won't be his fist?
Oh, God. It could be both. It could be the shield fist. It could be the triple fist. And it sucks. It really sucks because this would be awesome if any of us had the slightest inkling that we were building up to Braun Strowman main eventing WrestleMania. I think we'd be way more behind the ending of this match. None of us believe that's happening. So what's the point in getting excited?
I mean, it's the reason why I'm probably not watching WrestleMania this year and watching Wrestle Kingdom 12. Just saying.
Yeah, like, are they going to have Braun against Triple H and Angle against Shane or something? Or what are they going to do? I thought it was going to be Angle against Triple H.
Well, shouldn't it be Angle versus Triple H at Rumble, then do Triple H versus Braun and Angle versus his son at Mania? Isn't that?
Oh,
that's kind of how I saw that.
Unfortunately, you're probably right. Because Braun has to deal with Kane first.
Oh, God. Here's another thing. Triple H thinks that his match is like main event worthy at WrestleMania. Can anybody remember the last really good Triple H match at WrestleMania? Like, I thought him versus Sting was entertaining. It wasn't a good match. It was funny.
Him and Taker? One of
those?
I
was just thinking that.
Yeah, like, Triple H just has really long, drawn-out matches that aren't very entertaining anymore. The whole thing, Triple H is still a top star. He is, but just have him do, like, a 10-minute match. That's all. What's so hard about... We don't need a 45-minute Triple H match at every WrestleMania. That's my main point. We don't need it.
Speaking of top stars, why was no one under 40 in that Survivor Series match, it seemed like? LeBron and maybe Bobby Roode and Finn, but other than that, it was like an old timer show.
Yeah, I also, this is another reason Sammy and KO shouldn't have been in the pre-show match. They should just let them come out and fuck with Shane, and that would have been fine. Like, we didn't need an appearance from Sammy and KO since they weren't going to be put in a good match. Why waste their talents? They could have put somebody else in that spot and just... Whatever. Everything just didn't feel right to me. And I don't know, kind of, I like Randy Orton, but can I just get heel Randy Orton that does dick things, that being face Randy Orton who does dick things? Can we just, I don't know, can be heel again? I just want that.
And what happened to Shinsuke?
Yeah. What happened to
Shinsuke? It's like Shinsuke? The Becky Lynch treatment.
It's... WWE has a huge issue where they want to push somebody for a couple weeks, and then they're like, whoa, this guy's too young, too talented. Let's put in a name we trust. Let's put in John Cena. Let's put in Randy Orton. Let's put in Triple H. Like, they're so afraid to just say, we're done putting the old-timers in. We're going to let all the young guys and the medium-age guys shine. They're so afraid. This has been plaguing them for how long now? They're just so afraid. Like, they're afraid to have a WrestleMania without Taker. And I love seeing Taker every year, but he should have retired a few years ago. Like, at some point, just let go of the old-timers. Don't have them in matches and let the true top stars get their moments at top shows like Survivor Series, SummerSlam, WrestleMania.
You can't build new top stars when the old guys are still hanging around taking all the spots.
When they're taking the top spots and they're putting themselves over. I mean, Brock versus Goldberg main evented fucking WrestleMania. How is that helping anybody on the roster today?
It's not.
It's not conducive to building. And then they're like, oh, why is our ratings low? Well, we need to bring in old Brock. No, you don't. Just have Brock put over somebody. Have Goldberg put over somebody. But instead, you're just fucking wasting your load every fucking year, and it just gets more and more tedious. And that's why I begrudgingly understand why a lot of fans walk away or find alternatives. I can't, because I'm in this abusive relationship, and I'm still waiting for that diamond ring from WWE. And they promised me I'm getting it, so I will get it. Unfortunately, but now I gotta cover these fucking bruises again. They're fresh.
Just like Jennifer Hudson.
Oh! Ba-ba-boom. Oh, wow. Tommy's got to get fired, right?
I don't know.
I don't understand why he wouldn't get fired. He's pretty much useless. He's only on kickoff shows, offering his very limited insight.
But like, he's a lawyer.
I wrestled with Wade Barrett in the Nexus. Okay, and?
It's all the same.
Married Jennifer Hudson. Oh, no, I'm not anymore.
Yes, he never was, apparently. They're just engaged for 7 years.
Oh, Tonga.
Yeah, he's gone. Besides, now there's more room on the pre-show panels for Mark Markington.
Markington. Good for him.
I know the guy has a real name, but that's what I call him because he annoys me so much.
Pete Rosenberg, right?
Yes.
Both of those guys. Yes, him and the other guy.
Sam Roberts? Little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam Roberts, I have a funny Sam Roberts story. So I was listening to his podcast, and you guys know how I'm like slowly foraying into different promotions now that WWE has completely lost my interest. And he had an interview with Marty Scurll, the villain. And he was basically asking him like every fifth question. So do you see yourself like soon going to WWE? I'm just like, stop asking him. He's already answered that question.
He gets that paycheck from WWE though. He has to ask it all the time.
I know. It's so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous though. It was just like, why don't you just put WWE's name on your podcast, dude?
Yeah. It's a shame that it's come to this, that
Maybe someday WWE can't let me on our pit TV doing a pre-show.
It's just WWE has become the end-all be-all of wrestling. No, and yes, there are alternatives, but they're, unless there's serious money behind it, at least to an American audience, it's going to be tough ever to find an alternative that truly can combat. That's what we need. We need a true alternative that, I mean, no offense to Ring of Honor or TNA or anything going on in Japan or Mexico or any other
House
fucking
of Hardcore
country.
On Twitch.
Yeah. Without the financial backing, I'm not saying you need a WWE network, but you need to have some legit young talent that people are familiar with and build up your brand. And nobody, I don't think it's possible. I'm worried that's impossible for that to ever happen. It kind of sucks. I'd like competition because then WWE would get better with competition.
I like PWG, but that's all in California and you can only watch it on DVDs.
And that's like a small, like once a month show in this really, like almost like gymnasium.
It's like a bingo hall, I think.
In Reseda.
Maybe smaller than that, yeah. There's always Lucha Underground. That's still going.
You know, speaking of bingo halls, am I wrong in saying that NXT is making a horrible mistake in not going to the ECW arena in January for their takeover?
That's a good idea because those fans would probably shit on it, the product at some point.
Yeah, okay.
Which would be good for us, but not for WWE.
Okay. Steve, you're not convincing me.
I would love to see an old school ECW crowd shit on the NXT crowd. And just that'd be so awesome.
It would be.
All right, guys. Any final thoughts on Survivor Series before we move on?
Wasting my goddamn time. Wasting my goddamn weekend.
6 hours down the drain.
Yeah, like. Thank you, WWE, for making me 6 hours. Shit, then there was NXT plus, you know, fuck, man, that's a lot of wrestling.
NXT was enjoyable though. I didn't mind watching that.
It was, but you get wrestling overload.
You do, yes.
Even the most hardcore fans get overloaded with wrestling. They are trimming down the pay per view schedule to 5 co-branded pay per views. 5 Raw and 4 SmackDown. So once again, the B show gets undercut, but at least be a little less than I think we had close to 20 pay-per-views this year.
It was a lot.
So less is more for the fans and for storylines, really.
Yeah, I mean, this year, what was it, like every other week we were getting something, which was really ridiculous.
Yeah, I had to harass Steve sexually like every other week in email form.
It was uncomfortable.
It just became uncomfortable. Yeah.
All right, guys. So we've talked NXT TakeOver. We've talked Survivor Series. Let's talk about Raw. And since Russ isn't here, guys, I think I feel like I should take the mantle of a certain segment that Russ has.
What would that be, Carrie?
Well, we have Russ's Man Crush of the Week. Well, this week, listeners, we are not going to leave you hanging. We are going to have Carrie's Woman Crush of the Week to introduce our first topic of Raw. My Woman Crush of the Week this week is none other than Paige. I was very happy to see her back this week. She looks great. The red lipstick was a little much for me, but she looks fantastic.
She looks like the breaking Joker.
This is true. But, you know, I have to say, breaking up with Del Rio did wonders for her. She looks good. I'm so happy to see her back, and that's why she is my Woman Crush of the Week. All right, guys, so Paige is back. So what did you guys think? Starting with Kent.
Well, Paige looks very in shape, very very thin. She hid the bruises very well. Nobody died, so that's cool. And I got so excited when she said that she was not alone. Because in my mind, I thought, all right, we are bringing Peyton Royce and Billy Kay to the main roster. And I got super excited. And, like, it's amazing how quick a fucking boner can disappear. It's so amazing. Because then I saw fucking Sonya Deville. And who the fuck else was it?
Mandy Rose. She was also on Tough Enough.
Yeah. So Mandy Rose is a girl that actually has potential. Like, she could eventually make something of herself. Sonya Deville should be bye-bye within 6 months. That I've watched everything of hers in NXT. There's nothing to her. She's like Mark Marrow meets, like, first-year Steve Blackman. This is not a good thing. This is not good at all. She has
a cool catchphrase.
What is it? My name's Sonya Deville.
No, it was like, put your hair up and square up or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That could be a t-shirt.
But that could be on a t-shirt. But did you like any of her matches in NXT, Steve?
It's tough to say, because did she ever wrestle with anyone that had any talent?
That's questionable. I mean, yes and no. Like, remember she did team up with Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, and they were feuding with three other women?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like...
Probably Riot, Moon, and someone else. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think highly of her at
all. She's still very young. Both of them have only been wrestling for, what, 2 years?
Is it a problem, though, that Mandy Rose almost strikes you as, like, a lesser talented Alexa Bliss? Like, aren't they basically the same character?
Lesser talented Bliss or more talented, shit. Red hair girl. Eva Marie.
Eva Marie was talented. I'm still waiting for her to come back from her hiatus.
Aren't we all?
You do know she was released, right?
Nope. She's living the gimmick. That was all part of the gimmick, Harry. You're a sucker. You believed the release. Smark.
No, I also saw the news story saying that she was released.
WWE bought the news.
Andy Kaufman's still alive,
station.
Too. Yes. He's going to come back with WrestleMania to wrestle to Lawler one last time.
Well, I mean, she did when she was on, Total Divas. Mandy Rose and Eva Marie spent a lot of time together, so... There's something there. I think they even tried to create a tag team with the two of them at one point. Or was that her and Summer Rae?
Ah, Summer Rae got released.
I liked her too.
I'm
it's a shame.
Sad about that.
Along with Emma. I thought Emma would be the Paige's backup, but nope.
No, Emma should have had Peyton and Billy and had the Aussie posse, and I would have been in love with having an Australian group. It would have been great. But no, we can't have Australians on main roster. Like, does this help Paige at all? I don't see how it's helpful at all.
I don't think Paige needs the posse. The Paige I remember in the ring doesn't need, you know, backup.
I think
her wrestling kind of speaks for itself.
I think it's to help the other two. For some reason, they want them on TV. I don't know why. Does it help the other two against SmackDown to do the same thing the same next night?
All right, we'll get there.
Redundancy is redundant.
Actually, let's just jump into that right now.
It's all part of the same fucking thing. It's led by a pasty, black-haired chick, and it's the same fucking thing. It's the same fucking thing, except SmackDown got the shittiest end on every possible level.
Well, Ruby Riott's pretty good. I like her. But
I don't like
Liv Morgan's terrible.
Isn't Ruby Riott just basically Lita?
Yeah, I guess.
I can see it. I mean, I haven't watched much NXT in a very, very long time, but what I do remember of Ruby Riott is I was impressed with her.
The only problem is her, Liv Morgan are like better as faces. They're like the scrappy underdog face type person. And then he hasn't been heels on SmackDown. Makes no sense. Well, Morgan's terrible. See, showing the TV at all, but...
Well, shouldn't Liv actually excel at being a heel? Don't you think, Steve? That was my first thought. Was this was the role she was destined to play, not as a face.
Well, I hope so. For her sake.
Yeah. I mean, Ruby doesn't strike me as a heel... But that's only because that's how she's been portrayed.
The problem with Liv is her gimmick is very similar to Carmella's. Being from the island or Jersey or whatever. And
yeah. Twitter saw to that as well. It was good stuff. And who the fuck's Sarah Logan? I asked this question and I knew we were going to discuss it. So who the fuck is Sarah Logan?
Sarah Logan is Crazy Mary Dobson. She came from the Indies and was a participant in the Mae Young Classic. And actually was one of my favorites to win the thing. I actually had her ranked over Kairi Sane.
Does she have a good... What's her pros? What's her cons, Kairi?
I can't really think of cons. I mean, I was impressed with her work. I think she's good. She can hold it in the ring with like Becky, trying to think who else. I don't know about Asuka because Asuka is a special, she's a special breed. But no, Natalia, I think probably. Once you actually see her in the ring, you'll be impressed, I think.
Okay. I mean, I hope so. With all the talented women in NXT, this is what they did. These are the girls they brought up, these five women. And I'm so confused by this. I understand why they don't bring Nikki Cross up. They're waiting to bring up all of Sanity at once, it would seem. That's fine. Honestly, I would have just brought Ember Moon the fuck up. That girl's been ready to go. Screw putting the belt on her. Just bring her up. She's ready. She would have been a great addition to SmackDown. I think she would have had more of an impact and value than the three girls that they brought up to SmackDown. I don't know. I think her quality is more than the quantity in that regard.
Maybe there's a bigger picture to all of this. Like the two stables, what or what have you, there's actually a link or something between them.
An NXT invasion?
Exactly. Or something like that. Like a bigger picture.
I mean, we just missed Survivor Series for gang warfare.
Gang warfare. 1997, 98, something like that. It's good stuff. Yeah, that all happened, Karrion. It was a good time. Los
but yes, yeah, hopefully there's something going on there between those two.
Yeah, I mean that would make sense why they basically copied the same storyline for two different nights. Any other way, it doesn't make any sense.
I was waiting for like Daniel Bryan to have some stupid line that was written for him about like, haha, I outsmarted her. I got these three women instead. They are better. I'm a better GM. Like I was just waiting for that because. That seems to be like the whole Raw and SmackDown pissing contest is like, oh, we outsmarted our competition.
Well, stop. Really, Paige and whatever her name is now, Mary Dobson, are the better, not Paige, Ruby Riot are better than Paige and the other two.
I think Paige is worth more than, honestly, I'd take one Paige over the other five girls combined. That's how low the bar is set for me. I think Mandy could turn into a star, and I think Liv could turn into a star. I think Sonya is fucking gonna be gone soon. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on her.
It depends if Shayna Baszler ever comes up to the main roster. Because they're both MMA gimmicks and everything.
Let's hope we never have to. Like, I hope at some point the whole four whores women and four horsewomen angle never happens. Like, the less spotlight put on that debacle, the better. Plus, you know, the other thing that sucks is now Becky's gonna have to job to these fucking twits, right? And it's gonna be like, why does Becky have to continue jobbing? Like, that's all she's gonna be doing. She's gonna job to put these girls over, right? She's pretty much going to be the face of putting these girls over. And that kind of sucks.
Actually, I saw an article this, I think, yes, earlier today, something like she's going to be in the new Marine movie.
Yes, and so is HBK. So they're probably going to injure Becky so she can go film.
Didn't they already do that? Those are some hard bumps she took.
That door, I was like, ow, that kind of, that sucks.
I felt that. Becky! My poor Becky!
Has anybody seen anything? Actually, I've never even seen the first Marine. Has anybody seen any of the Miz Marine movies?
No.
I did watch the Miz Christmas movie, though. With Paige.
Oh, that was great.
But I've not seen the Marine. But I would recommend the Christmas one.
What was that called? Do you remember?
Nope. Look up Paige. How do you make the fifth thing listed under her? Probably. After, you know, the sex tape.
Sex tape, yeah. The dead horse is not gone yet.
Oh, no.
I am so upset that she's not on SmackDown. So upset.
So here's a question for you guys. So with all of the call-ups and the new women on the roster, do you think they're, are female Royal Rumbles in the works for next year? What do you think, Kent?
In the words of James Ellsworth, duh. Yeah, I thought it was going to happen last year, or, well, early 2017. I thought that was a slam dunk, and then they didn't pull the trigger. Yeah, if they don't do a women's battle or a Royal Rumble this year, what's the point of this historic, once-in-a-lifetime historic fucking revolution? What's the point? Fucking do it. Make it count, make it matter, and don't let female Flair win.
I would say have James Ellsworth help someone win, but he's gone now, so...
Yeah, like, I wish he could just win it, because he was the first ever, you know, women's Money in the Bank.
I was going to say Mrs. Money in the Bank.
God. And, you know, Tuan made a great point, and
that's a first.
I know this is way off your question, but he's like, why didn't Carmella cash in Tuesday?
I think they forgot about that. Because that was a great time to do it.
Like, that was a really good time to cash it in, and she still didn't do it. Or, why didn't she cash in Sunday? Like, Charlotte was supposedly spent from that match.
She was too upset with Liv showing up.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, what are they waiting for? Is it really going to be a big moment when she finally cashes in? Or is it going to just feel underwhelming?
I think at this point it's going to be underwhelming. I think we've been waiting for her for so long. Really, she should have cashed in on Natalya a long time ago.
It's going to be historic being the first woman to lose a cash-in.
Ooh. Yeah, it's probably going to happen. No, they can't have both from the same year lose.
Couldn't they, though? Couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. They really hate the fans. They really do. Oh, that's sad.
It's got to be soon, though, right?
You would think so. Maybe they're going to wait for, like, a WrestleMania moment, but Carmella has not been, like, a featured female in months now, it feels like. She was getting into a nice groove where she was putting on decent matches. She was getting some mic work and everything. And now it's like she's an afterthought, just like Naomi's a complete afterthought at this point.
I don't like her new attire either.
Who?
Carmella's. Carmella? Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of really enjoy it. But that's just me.
I think she's the only person on the roster that can pull that outfit off.
Yes. I guess that's a really good way of putting it, because I look at Billie Kay wearing this similar type attire, and it never works for Billie Kay, and I don't know why the hell she keeps wearing it that way. She did, like, a two-piece at one point, and it looked so much better on her. It didn't look awkward, and it didn't look like she was a fucking 80s female wrestler. Carmella, I don't know. I dig it. So, I feel that they probably are just going to wait till WrestleMania at this point. I haven't watched the SmackDown Women's Division all that much lately, for obvious reasons. But it seems dull as fuck. It doesn't seem like anybody's making any progress aside from the one.
Yeah,
like,
that's a fair assessment.
6 months ago, I would say pretty much almost that entire roster is below where... I think right now, currently, it's way below where it was 6 months ago. That's not good. Like, you guys need to be trending upwards, but they're... I don't know. They think that Charlotte's, like, the end-all answer to it. It's kind of like the whole Triple H Band-Aid that they think's fixing things, but in effect is making things actually worse, and they're really kind of infecting it.
Fair enough. All right, guys, let's move on. Let's talk. Yeah, let's go to our Were You Not Entertained segment. Let's talk the Raw opening segment this week, guys. So we had Stephanie come out, praise Team Raw's wins at Survivor Series. Kurt Angle came out. Jason Jordan came out. Triple H came out. And then Braun came out. And that's where, well, as in the words of JR, business picked up, because Triple H looked scared shitless when Braun came out. Even Stephanie was like, yeah, I'm out of here. Okay, I'm done. I was like, well, Stephanie, you actually summoned the Braun, because you said nobody in the locker room was scared of Triple was everybody in the locker room was scared of Triple H, except for Braun. You summon the Braun. You should stay in the ring with the Braun. So with that said, I was entertained. What about you, Kent?
I like that Stephanie got out of the ring because, you know, Stephanie got hurt at WrestleMania from being near the ring. So it's good for her to get out of the ring. If Jason Jordan can never be on my screen again, I'm okay with that. Actually, honestly, I'm kind of cool if Kurt Angle has one more match and calls it a career. And I like hearing Triple H's music. I wish he could pass it off to somebody who was equally as cool as he was 20 years ago. This feels like it should be a push for Braun, but it's all just a misleading misdirection on Raw's part to fuck us in the ass come WrestleMania season. So, no, not entertained, because I'm just being lied to. I am being lied to thinking that Braun's going to be a big deal moving forward, and he's not going to be, so no.
Do you think maybe, I mean, it could be leading to him versus Triple H, so he may be getting the Triple H rub.
What's the Triple H? I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, either of you, but when has the Triple H rub led to anything as of like the past 5 years? Has it really
Roman Reigns
gotten anybody?
I was just going to say that. Two words, Roman Reigns.
Daniel Bryan, too.
Daniel Bryan was the last person that got a good rub from Triple H, and that was actually the match of that night. That horrible, horrible, horrible worst night ever in wrestling history.
Yeah, we don't talk about that, do we?
No, and then they're coming back this year for it. So rest assured, everybody, we're getting fucked in the ass this year because we're back in New Orleans, the site of the worst night in wrestling history. So, yeah.
What about you, Steve?
Well, Braun on TV is always good. I don't like the fact that it took like a half hour of the first hour to get to him. And the setup from the night before didn't make much sense to me. Like, why was Braun so pissed at Triple H? Just because he's Braun and wanted the pin? I don't know.
Braun wasn't quite finished with Shane McMahon. That's the best I could figure. But why didn't Braun... Like, how great would it have been if, like, after the pin, if Braun would have been like, I'm not finished with Shane, or I'm not finished with him. Like, yelled at Triple H. That would have been something in Braun's wheelhouse. But he didn't say anything. And Braun's very articulate.
No, he just said, if you try that again, I'll kill you or something. And then it's like, what do you try? What do you do?
Try winning? Damn you, Triple H, for winning. So, Steve, were you entertained?
Half. Is that kind of half?
All right. Good half and half.
I'll go to half for Braun and then be negative for the rest.
Fair enough, I'll take it. All right, let's move on, guys. Let's talk Joe versus Finn. I have to be honest, I love watching these two in the ring together. I mean, I said this on the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling. If these two feud for a couple months, I'm completely good with it. The match quality is going to be there, and they'll put on a good show each time. Just no longer than 2 to 3 months. Because after that, you're starting to beat a dead horse. What do you think, Steve?
I'm trying to remember all the match. I think that was match of the night for me. It was nice to have an actual match right after that long, giant promo at the beginning. And they always do good matches. But, I mean, you see it so many times. There's not much difference. Other than Joe being allowed just to be Samoa Joe and destroy everybody, which is fun.
How about you, Kent?
Honestly, you know, what? I could truly get behind a Joe versus Braun feud at WrestleMania. If they're not going to give Braun the big push, give me Joe versus Braun. I think that'd be a fan-fucking-tastic feud. The build-up could be really excellent. As far as the match, yeah, been there, done that, seen it. Still the best match of the night, because the only other match that was decent was, like, it was Seth or Dean versus Sheamus or Cesaro. I don't know. Everything's interchangeable at this point for me. I don't remember who was who in the match. But my biggest concern is Every time Finn loses the first match cleanly, he comes back and wins next 3 months because he wears body paint. Sometimes paint that burns his skin because it's acidic. And more importantly, where the fuck is Bray Wyatt? I'm getting close to getting off the bandwagon for Bray, and I don't want to. I have been on the Bray bandwagon for so fucking long. But it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
He introduced Jordan.
I don't get it. Yeah.
That's got to help it. Yeah. The fans like him, right?
Yeah, like bring him back for 1 week to get over Jason Jordan. I don't understand. Can we get the Sister Abigail angle, please? That's all I want. That's all I want. If you give me the Sister Abigail, I will not bitch for a full week. I may not be able to discuss many topics, but I will not bitch.
What if we find a Sister Abigail, add it to it, reunite the Wyatt family, and have Sanity come up and have that group feud?
Well, you can't have the Wyatt family because now Harper and Roan don't have first names anymore. They lost them while they were training with their sledgehammers, apparently. And getting that great, great, great attire that I know we're going to talk about soon. Technically, Sister Abigail's burned or got burned again by Randy Orton and has worse scars and hair than Kane did when he first ripped off his mask. Yeah. I miss Sister Abigail. Everything, the mystique, and then the mumps. So bad.
All right, let's move on. So, main event, Monday night. We had a title change for the Intercontinental title. Roman Reigns is now our Intercontinental champion. I have no words. I'm not surprised, though. The top guy in the company has the top belt on Raw. So I guess that's something. I don't know. What do you think, Kent?
It's about as foolish as Braun trying to sell a chair shot to the throat, which was just awkward to listen to. This whole... I don't like the ideology of having the Intercontinental Champion or the U.S. Champion be anybody that's in the upper card. I get it that Miz can be in the upper card from here time to time, but he's usually a mid-card or upper mid-card guy. I don't like it. These belts are there to help these guys build a character and build themselves up so they can eventually move to the upper card. Putting these mid-card belts on guys like Roman Reigns and John Cena, it doesn't do anything for the division. Like, all right, we know the only way that belt's going to get off of Roman is he's going to get it vacated by injury or some stupid ruling, or else there's going to be some huge fiasco cheat fest and some guy gets a lucky pin. So he's not really putting anybody over. And that's the whole point, is that people used to use these belts to get themselves over. It doesn't work when you put it on Roman. So I understand that Miz had to lose it because of the movie, whatever, but it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't push anybody forward. Where's the forward momentum from this? Hell, it would have made more sense, and I hate to say it, but I mean, it would have made more sense for Jason Jordan to have gotten it. I mean, if they're going to center some storyline on him, fine, give him the belt. Roman doesn't need it. How many more pushes does that motherfucker need?
Roman needed it to complete the Triple Crown.
Quadruple Crown.
Whatever it is now, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. They had a name for it, but yeah.
Grand Slam, I believe.
Yeah, Grand Slam, which used to mean the Intercontinental European Tag and World Championship back when HBK did it. I think he was.
He was, I believe, yes.
Yeah, and now it just has completely different meaning. I don't. Do you foresee Roman ever giving somebody the rub? No. So.
No, he won't do any open challenges like Cena did with the U.S. title.
And Cena made it. I did just complain about Cena holding it, but at least he did do something with it. He made those matches feel important. There was importance attached to it. Roman's not going to do that. So there's no point. I think the highlight of my Roman Empire on Monday was the fact that Bo Dallas was getting some Bo Leave chants going. And Roman happened to be in the ring. That was my highlight of Roman for the evening.
What about you, Steve? What other thoughts do you have on this?
I hate how he's just like, you know what? I want that shiny belt, so you can lose it to me tonight. And then it's how he's the misdirect. So he will think, oh, he has a belt, so he won't be in the championship picture at all for a while. When in fact, it's probably going to end up being the IC title against heavyweight title at Romania. He'll win the heavyweight title and then have to forfeit the IC title. Setting up a tournament, probably, for the IC title.
Just like WrestleMania 6.
Exactly.
Which, once again, Roman doesn't give anybody the fucking rub in that scenario. See, this is why this whole thing sucks. These top guys need to give some rubs to the other people or else you don't ever make stars.
I'm sure Paige would give rubs to people. Star,
yeah, yes, she would. Very gentle rubs. But how many more pushes does this guy truly need? Oh, you're going to beat Triple H. You're going to beat Taker. You're going to fight Brock Lesnar. You're going to win this. You're going to win this.
Are these really different pushes, or are they just like one long push?
I don't know. Like, why can't they spread some of the generosity out? Once a person's made, you don't have to keep shoving them down our throat. Like, that's why a lot of fans get pissed off. But, like, they in this, if you divided Roman Reigns' push into three sections, into thirds, you could have had three made wrestlers. And they all would be top stars right now. Instead, it's just the Roman show. What the fuck's the sense in that? It's the same thing why we don't have any stars from Cena's era except for fucking Randy Orton. Because they didn't divide the fucking pushes up at all. It just always went to fucking Cena. We're just treading water here. We're doing the same vicious cycle over and over again, and we're not making new stars so that we can have interesting WrestleMania, so we can say, thank you, Triple H, thank you, Kurt, but we don't need you to main event this show anymore. We have stars because we made them.
Yeah, they can be like mid-card matches. But nope.
It's a fucking shame.
Well, do you guys think that because, you know, the main upper card belt is off it's pretty much off TV, except maybe 1 or 2 weeks every 3 months, 3 to 4 months, that in order to showcase their top upper card guy, they got to put something on him because, you know, Brock won't drop the title or they won't take the title off of Brock.
Yeah, of course. This would have been a great time for somebody like Finn to have gotten the belt, a guy that they consider a top guy. Well, they did last, you know, 2 SummerSlams ago, and then he got hurt. Well, this would have been a perfect opportunity to rebuild his stock in the fans' eyes, is to make him the top guy that you see every week. Perfect guy to do that with. No, Samoa Joe, there's another guy that would have been perfect for it. There's a lot of people that would have been perfect. Seth, Dean, Roman, none of them needed it. Braun Strowman, there's another guy that wouldn't, it would have been wasted on him. You could have put on just about anybody else on that fucking roster except for Fat Hardy, and it would have been a good use.
And if you have Finn and Joe wrestling for something, it'd be even better for the matches.
Exactly. And then when Sister Abigail cost Finn that title, then you got some bad blood again, and Joe can move on. And maybe we get Joe versus Braun at WrestleMania. See, everything like kind of works towards a good goal, and all of a sudden you've made like 4 guys bigger than they are now. That's how you book properly. But WWE, I hate my relationship with them.
All right, guys, let's talk SmackDown quickly, shall we? So I know there's another debut on SmackDown that I know Kent's excited to talk about. We had the debut of the Bludgeon Brothers. I have to be honest, guys. I thought this one fell a little flat for me. What did you think, Kent?
Oh, God. This is so bad. This is so fucking bad. Why did they give them that attire? I mean, they gave them the Freddy Krueger red. So why, instead of having that like steel gray or charcoal gray or whatever, just do the dark green to match the Freddy Krueger sweater.
And it would fit Christmas season.
Yeah. But no, that I don't understand what am I seeing with these guys? Yes, oh, they're big and bad. Yes, they've always been that way. But these squash matches, I feel bad for the Hype Brothers. I feel bad for anybody that was watching in attendance. I want to know how heavy their hammers are. That's really my biggest question is, how heavy are they? They must have some weight because it could support Rowan's hefty mask. And how many matches are we going to get of hammers on a pole match? These are questions that I have. I don't think they're going to be around long enough to get any questions answered. This is a bad, bad, bad gimmick. And the best thing would be for Luke Harper to cut a fucking pipe bomb promo and be like, I'm fucking done with this. I'm Luke Harper. I'm one of the best you guys fucking have. Push me. Like, that'd be the best thing they could do on SmackDown right now. Rowan, I'm sorry. I don't think he's meant for it. He's a good mid-card big guy, and that's it. And Ginger.
How about you, Steve?
I was suffering from fatigue and went out drinking on Tuesday night instead and played trivia. So I did not see the match or any of SmackDown. But I thought the Hype Bros were supposed to have broken up or in the middle of breaking up or something. And when you mention masks, it reminds me, I read Vader is going to have an autobiography at some point out. But
hopefully soon before he dies, because doesn't he have like a year to live?
That's what I think so, yeah. He's not looking well.
I think I posted that a year ago, they had 2 years to live. Like, that's what the doctor's diagnosis was.
He started doing DDP yoga, though, so maybe that's going to prolong his life.
I saw a chick on some porn site, and her name was Vader, and she had the same birthday as me.
You should get her on your podcast.
Yeah, I don't know if she speaks English, but if I could, Steve, I will
Google,
have you and
Google
her
Translate.
On so we can ask all the hard-hitting questions.
All right, guys, let's move on to the main storyline on SmackDown. We had Shane confronting Sammy and Kevin Owens about their actions at Survivor Series. We had Daniel Bryan get involved. There was a lumberjack match. The only thing, and I mentioned this on the blog at ninedeuce.com/wrestling. The only question I had here was with Daniel Bryan. Why is he not turning heel? He should at this point. He got locked in a closet with Kane, for Christ's sakes. He should be turning heel. He should be defying Shane at all costs. He wasn't for the invasion in the first place, and quite frankly, I mean, Shane's becoming an egomaniacal.
Why is him turning him? He going heel? He's really the face. KO and Sami Zayn are the faces of this feud.
Well, Steve, I can answer that by saying Roman Reigns ruined Rusev's and Lana's wedding day, so, and he's still a face.
That's
so
a good point.
There's your answer.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense now. I guess we're just heels.
So that's my 2 cents. What did you think, Steve?
I think it's setting up a feud between Bryan and Shane that can't come to fruition because Bryan can't wrestle. So it's going to be like the Miz and Bryan feud where nothing happens about it at all.
Except for some really good promo work on a show that doesn't exist anymore.
Ah, too soon. Too soon.
Yeah, I missed that show.
That was the best thing of the week for me, was that goddamn show.
I never actually watched it, but I did read the recaps of it, and I was always entertained by what I read.
I will say this about Tuesday. First of all, I loved KO and Sammy interrupting, going into the locker room and interrupting Aiden as he was regaling Rusev Day, and Rusev was just like jamming out, enjoying his own song. Like, that was fantastic. Why Rusev does not have a fucking storyline is beyond me. This guy is money, and WWE does not know what to do. There's like, what do we do with this guy? They're so confused.
Rusev is a goddamn national treasure, and the WWE should realize it.
Yes, I think Rusev is probably the single most underpushed wrestler in the company as far as what he could be. He could be a legit 100% star. He has everything, and they just don't, they don't know what to do with it. So that's weird. As far as the, I really wanted Shane. He kept saying, "I got two words for you," and I just wanted him so bad to just say Bludgeon Brothers so I could laugh, because that would have been hilarious if the Bludgeon Brothers would have came out. But that didn't happen. And yeah, I don't know. I think Daniel Bryan's getting cleared to wrestle. I don't know. I think he's getting cleared to wrestle. Maybe not full-time or anything. I think he's getting cleared to have a match or three, maybe. And I think they may work out an agreement where if he's allowed to work, you know, a few matches, that he re-signs with them or something like that. I could see them possibly trying to finagle something like that.
Yeah, but they'll be you need to be careful, Brian, because of your head and your brain. And he'll be like, sure, I'll be careful. And they'll do like 8 million headbutts.
Right, like they'd have to have a provision that if you do a diving headbutt, we will fire your we will keep you under contract for the next 20 years so you can't wrestle, and that'll be it. You will never be on TV again. Like, that should be a provision in the in the contract. But I think he's going to get cleared. I really do. The match itself was shit. The best thing that came from it was Baron and Bobby Roode getting into it a little bit. And yet, I sat there, I was like, yay, new feud, and I was like, Bobby as a face versus, it's not going, I don't think it's going to translate well. They're two talented guys, but Bobby's not the kind of guy that, he doesn't strike me as a guy that Baron's going to toss around a ton. And that's where Baron really excels, is tossing people around. And Bobby's going to try to be a face. Nothing, I don't know. I think this is going to bomb a little bit. I'm a little worried about this. So that's my thoughts on the KO and Sammy angle, because I'm sick of Shane McMahon.
All right, so guys, any final thoughts on Raw or SmackDown?
Speaking of people being faces, is Alexa a face now? And if so, that's not gonna work either.
No, she's not gonna be a face. I mean, actually, I'm more confused about the Usos.
Yeah, they're like, kind of turning faces. No.
Can't we just keep some people tweeners? Like, I'd be fine if Braun, Alexa, and the Usos were all tweeners. That would work so much better than... We don't need sides anymore, and I've long spoken about my desire to have more tweeners in a world where...
Well, the best-selling merchandise guy in the company history was a tweener.
Yeah, exactly. Because we live in a world full of gray area. We don't live in a world where, yes, we have a lot of outspoken motherfuckers that pretend that they're extreme, but in reality, if you get them from out behind their fucking phone and keyboard, everybody just is a mix of gray. Like, there's no one gung-ho fucking G.I. Joe, and there's no Cobra Commander. Although, if there was a real-life Cobra Commander, that would be fucking great.
As long as Deathstroke's there also.
Would be great. As long as Destro, and we pretend that the G.I. Joe movies, except for the animated one, were never made.
Exactly.
Oh, I have something. On December 9th, Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be very local to my area. And that also happens to be the night of Linkfest. I am very torn.
You can't have him stop by after the match.
If I would have known he was coming to the area like a few months ago, I would have said fuck everybody for Christmas. I'll set aside money and tried to contact him and bribe him to come after the signing. I seriously would have. Because I don't know where St. Johnsville is, but I know it's pretty close by. So
yeah, I have no idea where it is either.
I mean, it just sucks like that day has to be that day because he's doing pictures and autographs and stuff.
Maybe out of that instead, and just send you a picture of me and him.
I'm just like, ah. Oh. So, those are my final thoughts of wrestling for the week.
All right. So what are we looking forward to next week, guys? It's time for our segment, I'm Not Finished With You Yet. I'm looking forward to seeing where they're going with this women's NXT invasion. How about you, Steve?
I guess that's the most interesting thing going on, is the invasion. I wish I had Emma involved, and they could say that they started the women's revolution, but that's not going to happen. So yeah, I guess that too for me.
And Kent.
I also want to go on record and saying that I think the day or two after the Royal Rumble, Dana Brooke will be future endeavored. Just tossing that out there, unfortunately. I am looking forward to the best feud going on in wrestling today. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Kane versus Braun Strowman. That young pup Kane is really sticking it to Braun. And my God, their match last week was a fucking gem, and I look forward to more stuff between them. It's riveting stuff. I can't get enough of it.
All right, fair enough. All right, guys, it's time to play Guess the Wrestler. For our listeners, the rules of Guess the Wrestler are fairly simple. One of us selects a wrestler, and it's up to the other two to ask 9 questions, and they get 2 guesses as to who that person's wrestler is. Well, it's my week this week to pick a wrestler, and my wrestler is a male and a current wrestler.
Steve, you want to ask a question or you want me to?
What company is he most known for?
TNA.
Well, I'm out.
I'm slowly diving in head first. What company are they currently affiliated with?
Ring of Honor.
And boom goes dynamite. Are you pulling another fucking Russ with the Ken Kennedy shit where he made one appearance and that was his last known appearance and that means he's Ring of Honor? Please tell me you're not doing that.
No, I want to punch Russ in the face. No, he's currently active in Ring of Honor.
Okay. All right, so no punching of the face today. Good. I didn't want to have to, you know. All right, so Ring of Honor and known for TNA. That narrows things down.
Was he any tag team in TNA?
He was.
Might know who it is, one of the two.
What hair color?
He had black hair for a while, but currently he is bald.
Did he recently suffer burns?
Are you referring to the live event this past weekend? No, he did not.
Damn it.
Who does that eliminate, Steve? Because I am so...
The Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Okay.
Although I think the other one's bald, too, though. So it might still be...
Kazarian?
Yeah.
Well, there's also the Motor City Machine Guns and, I believe, Jay Lethal. What skin color does this person have?
White. Well, okay, so tan.
It's not Jay Lethal or Kenny King.
I don't know what else to ask. He's tan? Is it like a real tan or like a fake tan?
Probably spray tan. They all spray tan.
So he's orangish.
Yeah. And who does that leave? That leaves Kazarian and Mercy Machine Guns, right?
Are they in ROH? Machine Guns?
They're tag team champions.
Oh, wow. Who was the Machine Guns? It was Alex Shelley and...
It was Alex Shelley and the other guy. Saban.
I'll say Chris Saban. Yep. Crap, they're both white.
Did you say that they're currently bald?
Yes.
I think it's got to be Kazarian. I think he's bald.
Okay.
I'm not positive, but I think he's bald.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Last I checked, he had a bald head.
Questions we have left.
We have 3.
Is his finishing move the flux capacitor?
Yes.
Yep, that's the answer.
Who was he married to? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
It was some chick with black hair and huge knockers. I can't remember. Anyways, is it Frankie Kazarian?
It is.
Steve, you got one more question.
Wasn't he also injured recently?
Yes, I this past weekend. I just don't remember what exactly happened. Ring of Honor did like 3 shows throughout Texas this weekend.
So it was a bad weekend for Kazarian and Daniels.
Yeah, Daniels got put through a flaming table by Cody Rhodes.
No shit. Tracy Brooks was his wife's name. She wrestled for TNA for a while.
I remember that, yeah. Good for him.
And she does have huge
knockers. She does
indeed.
She does.
Yeah. Well, back-to-back Ring of Honor week. I will assure you that next week I will not go Ring of Honor. Or will I?
All right. Listeners, there you go. There is Guess the Wrestler. Hey, Kent, any announcements for this coming week?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I normally come on here and say that I have this, this, and this coming up. I have no idea. I have 2 podcasts that I have to publish. One's on Stranger Things and American Horror Story. The other one's on Walking Dead. I do know Walking Dead blog will be up at some point. I don't know. The holidays fuck with everything because I don't know. Do I post them before the holidays? Do I post them a day after the holiday? Do I post it on the holiday when people are just sick of everybody's shit and just want to read something? I don't know. It's really a tough thing to gauge. So I don't know. I would just suggest people to check on 9deuce.com. Let's say Saturday. Check it Saturday and Sunday. You'll find some updates then. On what? I don't know.
All right, so basically this weekend, after you're done with family, shopping, and stuffing your faces, check out 9deuce.com. And with that, for Kent, Steve, and myself, oh, and our absent Russ, we wish you all a good night, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
I look forward to being in a food coma tomorrow.
Me too, right after I'm done cooking it.